Welcome to the Middle Tech Spotlight Series, where we highlight entrepreneurs, investors, and ecosystem supporters that are building our startup community. We've been interviewing founders consistently over the past 4 years, and we want to use this series to keep tabs on the companies being built here. Today, we're talking with Armando Diaz of Working with Saint. Working with Saint is a design agency that has helped multiple startups in this area nail their branding, including Simba, Vivid Charts, and New Frontier Outfitters. Before diving into this interview, we just want to get a quick word from our sponsors. Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com. All right, we are here with Armando Diaz of Working with Saint, his first time on the Middle Tech podcast on the Spotlight series. Not the first time we recorded. Unfortunately, I kind of had a little bit of a screw up there and didn't get the first time we recorded actually recorded. But we got to do it in a cooler location now. So Big shout out to our friend JP Blevins for letting us use the space to record. We've got this awesome backdrop here and we're excited to be here with you for a second time. Sure. We've got some new stuff to talk about too, even since we sat down the first time. So we're going to cover all of that. But just to start, let's start by going over what is Working with Saint.
Yeah. Hey, thank you all for having me, JP. Thank you for the spot. So we're a creative agency based in Austin and Lexington, and what we do is build brands, products, and experiences for businesses. Sometimes they're nonprofits, sometimes they're early-stage startups, and every once in a while, they're Fortune 500 companies. So that's what we do. At the core of it, we are really good at branding, and we know that everything is branding. The emails you open, the packaging that you tear up, all that is branding, and people pay us to help them become more strategic with whatever design they create.
What is the essence of branding? So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So in the most simplest terms, what's branding to you?
Yeah, branding uses design to solve business problems. How you solve those is maybe through psychology, maybe through marketing, through analytics. But whatever strategy you use, at the core of it, branding is meant to bring a business opportunity to whatever sector you're tasked on solving.
And talk a little bit about what draws you personally to design and to branding. And just a quick anecdote for listeners. I love just telling stories of how the startup community is connected. You and I got to have a class together at University of Kentucky, and you always stood out as one of the students that was just making like really cool shit. So what is it about branding, about design that inspires you to do that?
Yeah, that's we went to school together, and that's, I always forget that part. Yeah. And I think it's like
Logan was unforgettable.
No, don't take it like that. No, cut that out. The reason why I forget that is because I will say this. I love University of UK, all that. Yeah, thank you. Great design school. But when you're in design school, it's very much a vacuum. And this is, being an owner of a creative agency, it is a people business. And in this business, you're tasked with managing relationships, managing the business objectives of that quarter, and somehow communicating all that to your creative team. So you're like a diplomat. You represent your client, but you also represent your creative team. And so jumping into this like right out of college was something that was very eye-opening for me, learning more of the business side. And that was a huge challenge because in art school, it's completely different. You learn more psychology, you learn more strategy, more branding, all that, whatever. But when you're the only person in the room that speaks design and can speak the language of branding and knows what exactly it's supposed to accomplish, that's the fun part. And that's the type of environment I try to find myself, where our team is the only team that speaks branding and can help be that missing puzzle piece to any organization.
Yeah, I love that. It's all about, you know, translating and communicating what you know and what you've learned from your design background into making it this beautiful design that you deliver to the client. It seems like magic when design works well. But you know, you just recently started working with Sangha. Maybe I shouldn't say recently, but we've been following along kind of this whole time, you know, getting lunch together, keeping up with you, hearing what you're doing. Let's kind of start by talking through your journey to starting your own business, how you arrived at that point where you felt that you're ready to set out on your own and do your own thing. And then I want to talk through what that's been like for you as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. And thank you for giving the space to say this, because this is a service-based industry and we will always be capped by the amount of time that we have available based on our team. That's not to say there are different ways to rethink the model and rethink how you can grow your revenue. In this line of work, there is a gap to close. If it's really cool, you know, you close a 100K contract, 200K, but you won't get that cash up front. You probably get it in installments after you hit certain milestones. And so when you're in that type of scenario, you have folks to pay, you have deadlines to meet, and you still have to outperform everyone else. What I've learned along the way is try to focus on recurring revenue, find different ways to share your knowledge. So sometimes, you know, we launch brand guidelines for free, or we find ways to monetize through Figma plugins. But this industry and this line of work has helped me rethink my brain in terms of, okay, we can go after these really cool contracts and close these big deals, but I need to be proactive and I need to be more on the offense side when it comes to increasing our cash flow. It's easier said than done. It's taken us a while, and it's this type of thinking that has helped us pace ourselves and do cool things like Blank Design, where we can, you know, have our own eclectic events and talk about branding and still push forward in the design space.
So that's kind of like the story of you figuring out how to run a business once you started it. Prior to that, you know, you were at AppHarvest, you were at, you know, other brands. When did you make the leap to start working at Sangha? Why did you do that?
Yeah, now I think what was eye-opening for me, I was always finding myself as the only person who spoke branding, who could do it and all that stuff. And so being in those environments and around people who don't know what, who don't know what branding could, what opportunities branding could bring to them. I came across a really cool startup called Simba, and Simba paid us, but they were our first client technically, like on paper, they paid us to rebrand them. And it was super small. It wasn't like all like full throttle. But from that experience, it definitely opened my eyes. And then after that, you know, it was with Vivid Charts, and it was cool because I remember to this day, they were needing social media assets. And I remember looking at their branding and I was like, yo, like this isn't scalable. They're moving at a very fast pace. For them to, you know, have an effective way to represent their product, explain how their ecosystem works, they need better branding. And not only do they need design, they need language, meaning writing, you know, taglines, descriptions, all that good stuff. And at that point, I realized I could put a team together, and the budget kind of was there to like assemble a small team. And that was cool because now I, instead of like pocketing all the money and just like, oh, whatever, I do it all, I realized I could kind of delegate this, split this work up, and then move on to the next project. And that was like the bulb in my head. I was like, okay, I can do this, and it's cool. It's a cool experience to be in like kind of this like triangle, design, business, people, and just bounce back and forth.
So Simba was a software company. So when I started that, you know, I had a co-founder, Ryan, and a technical co-founder. And, you know, I knew that design and branding was going to be one of the ways to differentiate ourselves in an industry that was legacy. The user experiences sucked. And so I really wanted to stand out. And so, you know, we knew each other. I saw your work and we started working together. You know, we happened to be a software company. How now does your client list break out? Are you still focusing on that niche of software companies? And, you know, the catalyst might've been, you know, a random connection with me, or, you know, how have you gone about finding clients?
Yeah, that's also another great question, because in this business, the amount of leads that you can generate, inbound, outbound, you live and die by that. And that can be very overwhelming for teams. And the other part is I am the face of the sales, and that's like really cool and awesome. I am really good at training design teams and language teams. Scaling a sales team is a completely different ballgame. And you have to find people who can either complement your type of strategy. For me, it's outbound. I love shaking hands. I love meeting people. I love doing stuff like this. But finding people who can complement this has been very challenging. And it's not easy. And again, this is a people business. But to kind of like go around all that, generating sales for us, we've learned, referrals have probably been the best way. And we know that we can only take on a certain amount of work, through every quarter, because we still have to turn a profit. You know, we have people who are invested in us, and those are our employees. So we have to make sure that we can take on a certain amount of work. And I've learned some very hard lessons where I say yes, 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 yes. And, you know, that 30% profit turned into 10% in about a week. So it's this push and pull, and it can be overwhelming. But I can say this, in the years that we've done this, we've charged more. And when we do that, the quality of work goes up, and the amount of deliverables that we perform on, or the deliverables that we've been tasked with, do really well when we pass those over to the clients. So maybe that's a website, email campaign, brand guideline. We have limited the amount of work that we've done, but we charge more.
Yeah, you raise the stakes.
Yes.
By, you know, not selling yourself short. So you have to live up to that, and you perform under pressure.
Yeah. Which is why I love this. Yeah. Some people might think I'm crazy, but this is fun. It's a rodeo. It's like a roller coaster. I feel like I'm on a rock and roll tour, and it's amazing to see my team perform every single day.
It sounds like you've learned a ton since starting the business. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, but your first kind of business venture, first time setting out doing your own thing, which is oftentimes very scary and full of uncertainty. If you could, you know, you where you are now and what you've learned in your business, if you could go back to younger Armando, back when you were about to start this company, and just give him a few nuggets of advice, what would be some of the advice you would give to your younger self before setting out on this journey?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one too. You have to be very patient with your milestones. That's like number one. We're not a tech company yet, or we don't have our eyes set on anything like that. So it's a different model. Again, it's a service space. So your milestones are completely different. And what you can't, you know, like that, that's like my number one thing that I would tell myself. The second part, this has a lot to do with customer service. So you have to be present and mentally available for the people you represent. And the third part, don't be afraid of very tough personalities. What I mean by that, we work with founders and executives and stakeholders who see the world completely different than the regular person. And they are on a different frequency. Their conversations could be 5 minutes. They could be 50 minutes. And to be able to lead a conversation, ask the right questions, and show up for them, I would tell my younger self to hone in on that skill and be honest with yourself along the way.
What's your take on the Kentucky design ethos and the landscape and the ecosystem? Is that in our veins? Are you trying to get it to, what point are you trying to get it to, and where is it at today?
Yeah, that's something that we're constantly talking about internally as well with our team. From a branding and like cool experimental design, this is the best place. Like, if you want to find cool design that no one else is doing in around the world, it's here. There's really cool, one of the coolest artists and designers in town is Robert Beatty. Robert Beatty has done amazing work for The Weeknd, Tame Impala, all these big people, and really cool work. And there's a lot of artists like that in this city. And so this place I think Lexington is so unique that you're always going to find some sort of design inspiration. Now, taking those types of people and placing them in an agency where we use design to solve problems, that's where it's tricky. And so I guess a better way to say it, the artistry, the craft is really cool here. The actual design thinking and principles, you're going to find that more in bigger cities, New York City,
and
LA.
Why is that? I was going to ask, you know, contrast it to places that are better known for design, like LA and New York.
Yeah, I think part of it is, I think part of it is the industries that are here are not prioritizing design. and there are not like hot new tech companies like bubbling here yet. And so
like big ass fans.
Yeah.
Good example. They have a unique brand.
Yes.
They obviously built a great brand, but it's one of those brands you look at and it's just like a donkey with a big tail. And you're like, you know, it's not necessarily something you'd find in New York City.
Right.
But it worked really well. And they sold they had a very large exit, mostly because of arguably branding, because they basically rebranded a white labeled a product.
Yeah.
And that's maybe a good example.
Yeah. Big ass fans. The whole story behind that is very unique. And any young brand designer who wants to do a little bit of research, Big Ass Fans is a great case study to understand how they broke into this market of boring fans and reinterpreting that to sell it at a very high price, a commodity, and still having clients who are in the manufacturing space, like the bigger fans for factories. So great case study for anyone to study there for branding. I think it's going to take time. Like, I think it's going to take time, and I think it's going to take a younger generation to kind of see that side of design thinking.
I mean, where are the designers coming out of? You got University of Kentucky, U of L, like the best designers you know that are from here and in this region, you know, where are they being grown? Like,
yeah, it's here in Lexington because, you know, we're based here and we're constantly looking for people. But second place of that would be Louisville. I mean, I think I want to see more businesses here in manufacturing side take that Big Ass Fans approach, because that's a cool industry to be part of. And a lot of agencies and young designers and maybe even people who are watching this who want to do what we're doing, they want to go get the Nike contract. They want to go get the Adidas, the Chanel, the Gucci, whatever. And that's cool. But I think it's cooler for us. We think it's way cooler to rebrand a steel mill and reinterpret their message for a different audience and help, find a different channel through branding. And so our team sticks to that model of looking at industries in Kentucky who may not be sexy. Maybe they're not a hot startup. They're not building the coolest rocket ship and sending it to the space. And we take it, we take those type of businesses just as serious as if, you know, Nike were to knock on our door.
I love that. And the first time we sat down to record one of these, one of the cooler parts of the conversation we got to have was around generative AI. So I think we should revisit that part of the conversation. So maybe let's just start kind of broad, just your thoughts on generative AI as it relates to branding and design and what that's going to do to the space, what it's going to enable, what it's going to, maybe hurt or take away from the space, and then lead that into what you guys are doing with it at Working with Saint.
Yeah, big disclaimer, we appreciate and embrace using AI. We use it in our workflows. I'm not going to lie here and say, oh, we reject AI and this and that. There are really cool tools and ways to use it. A lot of our animations on our website, we asked ChatGPT to help give us keyframes and scripts to plug into After Effects. That's cool. Like that's cool that ChatGPT gives us the opportunity.
Elaborate on that just for a second, because that sounds interesting. You did what now?
Yeah, you can. So on ChatGPT, you can ask certain prompts and basically to help you write code for a specific different speeds. So if you want to go ease in, ease out, if you want to also scale different images, it saves you a lot of time. And there were already other plugins that did this, but you have to buy it and all that. And this is like a cooler way to speed up that process. And I love using ChatGPT to save us time, mainly for CSS animations. And that's like the cool part with talking to this thing. And the other cool part is we love leaning on ChatGPT to do research for us. So your SaaS platform, you know, we have our places, our buckets where we go and do research, which is not Pinterest. We don't use Instagram for design research. That's like amateur level. We go to the books, we pull our archives, and we use ChatGPT to web scrape things that we can't find when we start Googling. And there's only a certain amount of time. So we use ChatGPT to improve our research along the way. So with generative AI, right now, the tools that I think are interesting or I think have potential is mainly related to language and copywriting. That's cool because you can use ChatGPT to help create taglines when you have the tone of voice, when you have you have your verb category, you have adverbs, and your grammar ready to go. it's still at a point where you still need a designer or a creative person behind the wheel. But I'm hoping in the future the process that we share with everyone, I'm hoping a founder, a small coffee shop owner, or, you know, someone who's ready to start their business, I'm hoping they can quickly pick up on ChatGPT and build a tagline that's like solid and that they can use to advertise their business.
Yeah, I think being able to supercharge, you know, individual founders or individual employees with artificial intelligence is, I think, at least at the stage we're in with it right now, that's where I see a lot of the potential and exciting things happening around it. But to transition from artificial intelligence to more kind of real world stuff you're doing right now, let's talk about the branding event that you're putting on. So talk about that whole thing, how you came up with that idea, what it is, all of that.
Yeah, it's one of our coolest events that we launch every year. And basically, in a nutshell, we rebrand three startups or nonprofits, anyone who's in early stage process in their business. We rebrand three folks live on air. It's a 6-hour sprint. And so in those 6 hours, we have to launch all three brands. And in those 6 hours, we open up our Figma files, we open up our processes, and we share our screen the entire time for audience members to tune in and learn how they can build a rebrand by a world-class team. It's very rewarding. It's something that makes us excited because we get feedback from the community, from the world, on how to improve our processes as well. And that's something that's very valuable. A lot of agencies are known for hiding their processes and being elite and like exclusive. And frankly, the world has changed.
Yeah.
And the idea of being a gatekeeper, that's slowly fading away. I think where gatekeepers are in this industry is definitely in the sales side. If you're an agency, you probably, like a big agency, 10 million and up, you probably control a region in terms of sales, and not a single contract goes through you without you not knowing about it. So in terms of the knowledge side, it's like a free world now. And Blank Design is kind of this cool model that, hey, the more we share about our processes, the more we get feedback on, the better our team gets and the more revenue we're making. It's also just a great, great lead magnet. A lot of people that apply actually don't really care to get it for free. They just want to know our process. And so that's a good way for us to not be going to every single event and shaking hands and like firing up that newsletter every single day, us to have this really cool event in the middle of the year and just plan out our sales cycle for the next 6 months.
Scalable stuff like that is super powerful, whether it's podcast, live streams, webinars. You know, you've got to figure out how to do as many of those as possible. That's super. I haven't seen that. It's a super creative model.
Yeah.
So are you, you know, where do you stream it? And give us like, when's it happening?
Yeah, August 31st, 9 a.m. Eastern time. For our folks on the West Coast, I think that's 7 a.m. But fear not, it's jam-packed. We're going to have great speakers all throughout the entire day. And that's August 31st. It's on YouTube. Twitch didn't want to do business with us this year, so we, you know, decided to go with YouTube. So.
And say the name of it again. I blanked on the name right as I started talking about it.
Blank Design.
It's perfect. Unscripted. Unscripted. All right. Blank Design. You can find it on YouTube. Yeah. 9 a.m. is when it starts. You're doing 6 hours of this.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like on live 6 hours, live, like cranking out some designs.
Live, baby.
Building in public is, that's like definitely a new trend. You're right. You know, and I think what that does is it helps people, you know, understand who you are, but it builds trust. Yeah. You know, if people can see the process, then they respect the process.
Mm-hmm. And that idea of building in public applies to any sector, any model. I don't care if you're an e-com brand. Try it out. It doesn't cost you anything, and you don't have to be fancy. Even a Zoom call goes a long way. And for those who, you know, you want to pitch it to your bosses and they still push back, it's a great way to develop relationships with potential leads and or future hires.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's very creative, and I think it's something that you don't see many other design firms doing. All right, so as we kind of wrap up this conversation, you know, we want to end things with this spotlight series. You know, the whole goal of the spotlight series is to follow businesses through their growth and through their iterations and their evolution being built here in Kentucky. So we talked a lot about what you've learned through this entire process. I'm sure you still have a grand vision that you're chasing after with working with Saint. Let's talk about what that vision is. So you can talk as broad or as narrow as you want to, but let's kind of talk through that and then finish on, you know, what does the next 3 years look like for you?
Yeah. I will say this. I think the creative agency space will change dramatically, where the only big players at the top who have like 300 employees are doing the contracts with Nike and Google and Apple. They're playing a different game. It's a different world. But the folks who are in this lane that I'm in, I think the industry will change where it will probably be it'll look more open source. And I think there will be more fragmented agencies and there won't be this huge conglomerate. And I think that's a cool part for design to be improved or design knowledge to really excel. And I think it's going to be really good for customers as well to have multiple options to choose from versus just one big conglomerate. I think that's cool. And I think that's something that will not happen overnight, but based on numbers and based on the history in the design space, it looks like it's headed that way. For us, we love the service space. We love people. This is a people business. It's not for everyone. For us, in 3 years, we want to be at a better place where our cash flow positive numbers are very exciting and enticing. We can keep up with blank design, and we can find different ways to monetize within the creative agencies, or excuse me, the branding space. And we think one of those cool ways is building our own Figma plugins, whether they're free or, you know, we end up monetizing them. But we think, and I think my responsibility is to keep listening to my branding team and build as many tools for them as possible to do the best job that they can. I think my role in this company is changing into a greenhouse. I'm not trying to be the tallest plant in the room. I'm just trying to create that environment for my team to thrive. And I think any creative director out there who's listening to this, I think you're going to have to pick up a little bit of coding and build some plugins along the way and listen to your team so you can become as efficient as possible.
I love that. Well, as we end it here, we just want to make sure that everyone knows where they can find you. If they need to know your website, your personal social channels, LinkedIn, any of those things that you want to plug here at the end, tell us where we can find you and learn more about working with Saint.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll make it very easy for everyone. Just type in on your browser, your phone, WWS.design. That's all you got to do.
WWS.design.
Yeah. Thank love you.
It. All right, Armando. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to do this for a second time.
Thank you, Middle Tech.
Really enjoyed it and excited to get this one out there.
Woo!